We turn in the Word of God to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. And this evening we look at the first 9 verses. That the first 2 verses read, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words, and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding." Amen. Thus far we read the Word of God. Our theme is the priority of knowing the Lord. The priority of knowing the Lord. Some things in life are important and other things are not. As one grows older, things that once seemed so vital may now seem quite trivial. But to be truly wise, the top priority must be given to knowing the Lord. To knowing the Lord at all, and then to knowing the Lord better. In these early chapters, wisdom speaks. And as we mentioned last time, when it becomes more intensely personified, there is justification for regarding it as Christ himself, for he is the wisdom of God. In him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And in these verses, wisdom is still speaking, and therefore Christ the Word is also speaking to sinners. Having spoken severely to the rebellious in the second half of the first chapter, he now addresses the teachable child, the child willing to listen. First of all, the word is to be received and applied. The word is to be received and applied. "My son, if thou wilt receive my words, hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding." The words in view are the words of the Lord. The wisest words in all the world are those that come from God in Holy Scripture, the Bible. We have in our Bibles the highest possible wisdom, the greatest wisdom that we could address our minds to reading is here in the Holy Scriptures. What foolishness to neglect the Word of God. If you will not read the Bible, then you do not desire to be truly wise. You are a stubborn fool if you will not read and apply yourself to Holy Scripture. Scripture must be known, and every effort made to teach that word to the young. But the word must be not only known, but also followed. You see verse 2, "so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding." They are not simply to be known as to their content, nor yet merely memorized. Necessary as these things are, we use our memories for all sorts of things. Are any of them as important as seeking to know the Holy Scriptures and to have them stored in our minds, especially the young, when the mind is fresh? Then the Scriptures can be committed to memory. And it is a great tragedy that little memorization of the Word of God is taking place among the young in many churches. The word must be known and it should be memorized, but it must be followed. It must be followed. The word is more, the word is not simply to be known by rote. It is to be inclined, we are to incline our ear unto wisdom and apply our hearts to understanding. We are to pay attention. We are not only to hear, but to hearken so as to follow the word of God, so that we are to know what's in the scriptures, we are to seek understanding of what's there, and our hearts inclined to follow the word. In James chapter 1, we are warned, aren't we, about being mere hearers of the word. In James chapter 1, and from verse 21. James 1 verse 21. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. So the word is to be known, its content, understood, and believed, and followed. But we must remember what James says in the earlier verses of the chapter, in chapter 1, but from verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind, and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Wisdom is the application of the word. True wisdom is when we know what the word of God teaches, and are able to apply it and follow it in a given situation. And this man is pictured as asking for wisdom, but he's double-minded, because, well, does he really want wisdom? Does he want to know? Does he want to know what the word of God teaches so as to follow it? He's double-minded because he's not convinced that God's way is always the best. And so he asks, but he doesn't ask. He asks in form, but in his heart, he doesn't really want to know. Let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. We should not read the Bible just to know. We need to know, but not just to know. Unapplied biblical truth makes us vain. We've said this many times, but it needs to be laid to heart. Unapplied biblical truth makes men vain. The apostle says knowledge puffeth up. He's not inveighing against knowing the word of God and seeking a clear understanding of biblical truth. Of course not. There are many places where he urges that very thing. But he is saying that knowledge in the mind, if that's all there is, without the wisdom to apply it and the desire to follow after it, such knowledge, such mere mental assent, will lead to pride and vanity. Whereas real wisdom is derived from the Word by the Spirit's application, and it leads to humility. It leads to increased gratitude for salvation in Christ, and an increased sense that God alone should be glorified. That's why we read in James, receiving with meekness the engrafted word, because meekness is necessary to receive the word of God so as to believe and follow that word. Without meekness, then our pride feeds on our own ability to understand and articulate. But real reception of the word means greater gratitude for salvation in Christ, greater dependence upon God, a greater desire that God and not man should be glorified. So the word is to be received and applied. Secondly, how understanding of the word is to be sought. How understanding of the word is to be sought. Verse 3. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. How is understanding of the word of God to be sought? Well, firstly, by prayer. Verse 3. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding. And given that it seems to be still wisdom speaking, it evidently refers to prayer to God, the source of all wisdom. To try to understand the Bible without prayer, without asking for help from the supreme author of the Bible, is an insult. God breathed out the scriptures. Who do you think understands the scriptures best? Well, the God who gave the scriptures. That's who. Don't say you're seeking guidance if you won't apply yourself to the word of God. Why has there been so much among God's people of feeling led to do things without scripture? The answer is laziness. Laziness. Instead of studying the scriptures to know what to do, we just wait for a feeling to tell us. You see, is there no feeling in our Christianity? Of course there is. Joy and peace in believing. Godly sorrow that worketh repentance. But it is feeling in response to the word the scriptures, not feeling as authoritative, but feeling in response to the authoritative word of God. And if you don't think you need God's help to understand the word that he has given, then there is a major problem. The Bible teaches dependence on God. The Bible teaches that we have nothing that we have not received. The Bible teaches that in him we live and move and have our being. The Bible teaches that in his hands is our latest breath. The Bible teaches that salvation is of God, and that so utterly dependent are sinners upon God for salvation that they even need his sovereign work of regeneration in their souls to be willing to depend upon Jesus Christ for acceptance before God. The Bible consistently teaches man's dependence upon God for everything. To study that Bible and do so in a spirit of independence of God is an act of defiance and unbelief. I can understand God's word without God's help. Well, you can't. You will not receive God's word correctly on any point unless the Spirit of God enables us to receive it with meekness, not only to understand, but to live by the word of God. That's how dependent we are upon the God who gave the scriptures to teach us to understand and to live by the scriptures. We must not think that we can use the God-glorifying scriptures to glorify ourselves. And so we must express our dependence upon God. Let me just give you a sample of the Psalms, we'll look no further than Psalm 119, how dependent the psalmist considered himself upon God for understanding. Psalm 119, verse 12, "Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes." Verse 18, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Verse 27, "Make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works." Verse 33, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight." He prays for understanding. He prays for God's grace. "Make me to go in the way of thy commandments." If you want to be a Bible scholar, make sure you're a man or woman of prayer. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16, the Apostle Peter refers to the epistles of Paul, and he speaks of them as containing some hard things. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16, or verse 15, "And account that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction." Did you know that the Bible is dangerous? Oh, it's not dangerous in itself. It's wonderful. It's a treasure. But proud men get worse. When they use the word of God to feed their pride. And the Apostle Peter is saying that the unlearned and unstable wrest the scriptures to their own destruction. The word of life. And they twist it and mangle it. And are hurtled on to ruin by their misuse of the word of God. The Bible is to be approached with meekness, with prayer, with dependence upon God. And seeking this wisdom from God's word is a priority. Verse 4 says, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures. To know, understand, and follow the word of God should be a priority. Mary sat at Jesus' feet. What Martha was doing was important, but not as important as what Mary was doing. That which is good should have given way to that which was best. The Master was speaking, he was teaching, and Martha should have listened. Public worship, the preaching of the word, should be a priority. Reading the word at home should be a priority. Make sure other things do not squeeze it out. You can't afford to live without the word of God. And then we can say, when rightly sought, the Lord will be found, and found more and more. Verse 5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. Our chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Therefore, we must pray and study the Scripture. Only in this way does the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God begin, and only in this way does it increase. If your Bible gathers dust, except when you pull it out to come to church, don't say you want to know the Lord, because you don't. Thirdly, third main point, going to the source. Going to the source. Verse 6. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment, and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness, and judgment, and equity, yea, every good path. The first thing we learn here is we must go to God only wise. God only wise. God alone is independently, self-existently wise. He is infinitely wise. And if we as men and women, boys and girls, would be wise, we must have wisdom from God. Without God-given wisdom, we're fools. We're in the dark. We don't know what we're doing or what we're talking about. We need God-given wisdom. So verse 6, for the Lord giveth wisdom. out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He can make us wise, wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. And he only can cause us to increase in wisdom. Why don't you ask him? Why don't you ask him? When did you last ask God to make you wise through the Holy Scriptures? The world can't make you wise. It can give you a lot of facts, but no understanding of those facts, of why they're true, or if they are true. They can't tell you why those facts exist. But the Bible can. God can, by giving you understanding in his word. And even the Bible is not properly understood without God enabling, as we've said. That's why very intelligent, very clever men, able men, gifted men, they make such a dreadful hash of trying to explain the Bible when they're unbelieving men. They get the simplest things wrong. They blunder. Because it's not just a matter of intelligence, of brain cells. God teaches his people by his Spirit, by giving them a right disposition of heart, as well as understanding in the mind. Men of the world cannot even tell us what we are, why we're here, or where we're going. In all the range of facts that they can dazzle us with, no one denies that, yet the basic questions are a blank. But to whom much is given will be given the more. Verse 7, he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. For the righteous, these are those who are already believers, justified through Christ and being sanctified by the Spirit. They apply what they understand, and then they get more. Applying the word is the way to increase in understanding of the word. God has given us so much in the Scriptures, and he is ready to open its treasures to us if we read that word with prayer and receive it as the word of God. Make use of what you know, and that is the best way to increase in knowledge. There are promises to the believing. Verse 7 again. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. This is teaching very similarly to Psalm 1, the blessedness of the man whose meditation is upon the word of the Lord. And there are promises of protection. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly, to them who are living by the Scriptures. And he keeps for them the paths of judgment. That is, he makes them clear. And he leads his saints in them. That's what it's saying. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. He keeps it. He keeps it open. He makes it clear to them and directs their steps in it. The way becomes clear. Verse 9, then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity. In other words, we'll understand in all of life's varied situations what is just, what is righteous, what is equitable. We'll understand. We need to be able to apply God's word in given situations. Sometimes it's not easy, the complexities of life. But the more we understand God's word, and the more of it we understand, the more truth we have to hand to apply in a given situation. So the application is simple. Be assured, first of all, that wisdom is with God. Be assured that wisdom is with God. That's why the ungodly can't teach you wisdom, can't make you wise, because they have not God. God is wise. Man, alienated from God, is a fool. And God makes men wise through his word and through his Holy Spirit, giving understanding and in that word. In Psalm 36, for with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. In thy light shall we see light. Dependent man sees light in the light of God's light when he thinks God's thoughts after him. Make sure you seek the true wisdom from God himself. Seek to draw from this well constantly. First of all, being wise unto salvation through trusting the Lord Jesus Christ and seeking more and more from God's hand understanding in God's word. If you can't be bothered with the word of God, don't say, I'm seeking guidance from God. Bible neglectors are not genuine seekers after guidance. And then redeem the time. Redeem the time. We only have one life in this world. One life to get a grip on the word of God. Don't die a novice. Search the scriptures, study the scriptures, pray to God in heaven to give understanding so that we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. What could be more wonderful than to understand the word and see the glory of Christ more clearly, and to come have the eyes of our understanding open in the knowledge of his will. Study the scriptures, not to show how clever you are, but depending upon God to direct you into the way of wisdom. Such a path is the path of pleasantness and blessedness, as we live by faith on the Son of God and walk by faith and not by sight, receiving the testimony of Holy Scripture in its warnings, its precepts and its promises, and having the word of the Lord as our songs in the house of our pilgrimage. Amen. Let us pray. O gracious and eternal God, bless thy word to our hearts. Enable us to turn away from all our neglect and with reverence, godly fear, meekness, and dependence upon Thee, to place our delight in the law of the Lord, and to meditate therein day and night. So hear us, O God, and accept our prayers, and all for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen.